We're talking with Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn. His new book is The Debt Bomb. And, sir, let's talk a little bit about proposed solutions now. You were one of the legislators who is part of the Simpson-Bowles Commission. You voted for the recommendations, while not necessarily thrilled with all of them, but to move the ball forward, you did that. Now, of course, there have been some substantive discussions, but ultimately, as we've said before, nothing has actually been done. Do you get the sense that a growing number of your colleagues are ready for a serious discussion that actually leads to something of consequence?
A small number are ready, a large number recognize we need to do it, but they lack the courage to do it. If you have private conversations with members of the Senate, they all recognize that we have to change things. We have to increase revenue and we have to cut spending. They all know that has to be done. They know it's going to get done, and it's either going to get done voluntarily or we're going to be forced to do it. The question is how long can we wait before we start taking action? And what I propose is that we start taking action now to send a signal that we're about the business of taking care of our problems and living within our budgets.
The issue of tax reform you address in the book to a great extent. You talk about the flaws as you see it in the logic of the Democrats, the Republicans, and Grover Norquist, another major player in all this. The Democrats, essentially, you say, think that everything can be solved through more taxes. Republicans don't and are skittish to raise taxes at all. Grover Norquist, absolutely against any sort of tax increases. So where does the impasse break here? How do you expect this, whenever it does come about that something gets accomplished, where's the line of compromise going
to
be?
The line of compromise has to be in terms of tax reform and modification of the entitlement programs that we have today. And it's that mix that will be what is eventually agreed to that it puts us back into at least a glide path for some financial health.
Let's talk about, real quickly, still on the tax front, the conventional wisdom is that you can lower marginal rates, get rid of a lot of the so-called loopholes, and you'll still be plus on the revenue side. Is that where you see this ultimately ending up, at least from the tax perspective?
Well, that would be my hope. The other side effect from that is that you will markedly encourage capital investment in our country, which will actually grow it, which also grows the dynamic effect of flattening the rates and broadening the base actually grows. If you look, the last time it was done is 1984 with Reagan, and we had over 5 years of greater than 4.5% real GDP growth. And what that does is that adds tremendous amounts of dollars to the federal revenue. And the only way we get out of this is we both trim spending and change the revenue picture so that we can have some growth into the future and we can instill confidence, not just in Americans, but in the people that are loaning us money, that we're on the way to health.
Senator, when it comes to entitlements, we know that they're the biggest drivers of the debt. And certainly when you talk about unfunded liabilities into the future, the numbers really get mind-boggling. But specifically with Medicare, that seems to be the most urgent one and the one that leads to the most debt. What do you see as the smartest ways to address that in a way that you can find consensus? Because that is such a hot third rail, potentially, of politics.
Well, I don't think it's that hard to fix. It depends on whether or not you play a political game with it or actually are honest with the American people and treat them like adults. Medicare is out of control, and the trust fund, the worst projections show it going bankrupt in less than 4 years. So how do we do that? First of all, we talk about how Medicare is set up now, what the demographic shift is with all the baby boomers, my generation moving into Medicare, and what the revenue stream for it is. And how do you get the $1 out of $3 in Medicare that isn't helping anybody now to actually work to help people? So we can change the efficiency of it. We can make it competitive with a premium support system, let people be in traditional Medicare or premium support, what's better, but make it competitive. We can also slowly increase the age of eligibility. We can also do some things like earnings tests and benefit ratios based on retirement income, to where we can actually afford it. Remember, the money that we're going to put into Medicare is almost all going to be borrowed from our kids. The average couple puts $110,000 in Medicare taxes into the Medicare, but takes out $350,000. And when you think about the fact that 10 million people this year are going to move into Medicare, 10 million more, those numbers just get gigantic. So we have to modify that. And we can do that and still keep our commitment and still have a quality health care program available for seniors. But the point I'd make, Greg, is if our country has faced big crises before. What we lack right now is visionary leadership to, number one, explain what the problem is and draw the country together so that we're one in fighting this debt bomb. And if we do that, I have no doubt that Americans will put their personal self-interest in second place to the greater self-interest of the country. But that requires leadership, and we have the opposite of that now in terms of a divisive politics that's out there.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Sarah. I noticed you got a nice recommendation in the front from Paul Ryan, the head of the House Budget Committee. What do you make of his plan? He seems to be the one with the most detailed effort to make change in a realistic way in Medicare and the tax code. Are you in general in favor of what he's proposing?
Oh, I'm supportive of what Paul does. I would be much more aggressive. I would do it sooner. But I think what he does is bearing in mind on making sure we don't put any drag on growth as he does it. So I'm wholly supportive of what Paul Ryan's done.
And lastly, obviously, we've got an election coming up. That's no surprise to anyone. How significant is the outcome of this election as to how likely we are to actually fix this?
Well, the point I would make is we're going to fix it. The question is do we fix it on our terms or do we fix it on the terms of the creditors that we have? And I would tell you that America will be far better off if we fix it under our own terms and negotiating among ourselves rather than negotiating with the Chinese in terms of our debt. So I think we will fix it. I think the election is critical because the philosophy is critical. Should we have a government-centered country or should we have a country based on freedom with a limited government?
And there's an important chapter in the book on the importance of returning to the basics of the Constitution as well that we don't have time to get into. But, sir, we thank you very much for your time with us today.
Greg, I appreciate you having me on.
Oklahoma Republican Senator Tom Coburn, longtime doctor. His new book is The Debt Bomb, A Bold Plan to Stop Washington from Bankrupting America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.